So why does New Bedford want to become a leader in offshore wind anyway? Well, Paul Vigent, who's the managing director at the city's Wind Energy Center, says New Bedford is the prime location for it.
It's windy, 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 just off our coast.
Vigent adds, a couple hundred miles off New Bedford's coast, the water isn't as deep compared to other parts of the country. That makes it a lot easier to install and maintain turbines to harness all of that wind.
It's a unique physical property of the earth that every day, every night, the Gulf Stream and the ocean collides with the northern jet stream in the atmosphere, and it creates this dynamic, sustainable, renewable energy wind source.
Vigent himself is the Wind Energy Center. He works with the Port of New Bedford and the city's Economic Development Council to advocate for offshore wind.
So for the past eight years, we've been at chamber commerce meetings, business meetings, community meetings, rotary meetings, just informing people about the importance of this and the need to get ready.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, wind turbine service technician is projected to be the second fastest growing occupation over the next decade. And New Bedford is working to become a hub for jobs like these and other work related to offshore wind. Eric Hansen opens the door to his commercial fishing vessel, Endeavor, that's docked at a shipyard in Fairhaven. He walks down a narrow metal staircase to a small, cramped space he calls the pit.
Regular cruise quarters. It's just a pile of bunks.
We can sleep 17 on this boat.
Hansen's boat harvests scallops and typically travels through the area where the wind turbines would be. He says when fishermen got word of Massachusetts' plan to build a large-scale wind energy project, they had one main concern.
Location is the biggest part of the issue that fishermen have with the turbines.
Location matters because spinning blades confuse the instruments fishermen use to navigate through fog on their way back from fishing trips. Because of that, Hansen says fishermen would have to go miles out of their way to navigate around wind farms.
Fishermen, when they're coming home from a grueling trip at sea, typically very, very tired, and don't need an extra burden on a very, very tired person, because then you get a catastrophe.
According to Hansen, Massachusetts has been going about siting offshore wind projects the right way. He says they're listening to what fishermen have to say and have already cut the Massachusetts wind energy area in half to accommodate commercial fishermen. But he'd like to see them establish transit lanes through the wind farm so boats have an easier path back to port. Edward Anthes Washburn is executive director of the Port of New Bedford. He says the port supports more than 6,200 jobs and has an economic impact of $9.8 billion. 90% of that is tied to commercial fishing or fish processing. But Anthes Washburn says New Bedford needs to diversify its business opportunities, and they're looking to offshore wind.
The scale of our infrastructure is perfect. We're blessed with geographical advantages. You know, we're closest to the actual turbines or where they will be. Offshore wind is a big part of what we hope will be part of the port's portfolio in the future.
Right now, the port is undergoing a more than $200 million commercial makeover to prepare for the offshore wind industry, including the construction of a marine commerce terminal a few years ago financed by the state. The terminal supports the construction and deployment of offshore wind projects and is the first of its kind in the United States. Anthes Washburn believes commercial fishermen and offshore wind developers can work together effectively.
It's going to be impossible for everybody to be on the same page in terms of everything, but I think regular and consistent open communication at this stage through the end of the construction, I think that it can work out well for both industries.
But is that just wishful thinking? Is New Bedford setting its sights too high on the success of offshore wind? Paul Vigent with the Wind Energy Center doesn't think so.
We've prepared. We've used these 8 years of knowledge development to get ourselves ready, to talk to these companies, to figure out what they need, to get in place what they need, and now it's time to launch.
Back at the shipyard in Fairhaven, standing on Eric Hansen's boat, you can hear the grinding of steel on a boat nearby as painters prep for painting. Commercial fishing boats like these could be navigating around wind turbines as early as 2021. Final approval of offshore wind projects in Massachusetts is expected this summer. Avery Brookins, Rhode Island Public Radio.